Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We go behind the headlines with St. Louis Public Radio reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum. Jason's about to head off to Philadelphia for the Democratic Convention. Joe is heading back from Cleveland and the GOP conclave. Jason will join us a little bit later. Joe is with us now. Joe, nice to talk to you again. It's been quite a week, hasn't it?
Yes, been very intriguing.
Intriguing is one of the words that I've heard used. An unconventional convention is what a lot of folks are saying about it. Let's start with Mr. Trump's comments last night. How did the delegation react to his relatively very lengthy 75-minute speech?
They loved it. I mean, Phyllis Schlafly told me she thought it was one of the best political speeches she'd ever heard. And a lot of the delegates, he hit on the issues that are up on top of their mind, which is national security and security at home, and what they see as lawlessness. And so his speech sort of fed into that. In fact, there was a lot of topics that normally a Republican president would talk about in more detail, like about economic program or social issues, that sort of thing. He didn't. I mean, he did talk about his tax cut a little bit, but basically, he focused on the themes that he knew that people in the hall wanted to hear. I mean, this was important to them.
Yeah, well, he seemed to touch all of the bases. It was a long speech. It reminded me a little bit of Bill Clinton way back when he went on and on, and delegates were ready to storm the podium to get him off of there.
Yeah, but Trump actually set a record. There has been no nominee in modern times who had a speech as long as he did. Now, part of it was because he was using a teleprompter, and he was trying to make sure he read things correctly, and so it took a little longer than I think he thought to get his point. They had released the text ahead of time, at least tidbits, and then the text went out pretty quickly, so you could follow it while he was addressing the crowd. And I had several delegates who said they thought that the public, the people who were watching it, probably got even more out of it because, A, they could see a close-up of his face and they could see better, and, B, they thought that this was the type of speech that really would appeal to middle-class Americans. Yeah. I mean, that's how the Republicans view it.
He's a different guy when he's reading from the teleprompter than he is when he is speaking extemporaneously.
Yeah, well, that's true of a lot of politicians.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I mean, Clinton often didn't follow his text, but for something like this, you do. That was a big difference. But yeah, the Missouri delegates, whether they were for Cruz or Trump, the reviews I got last night after the speech were uniformly, they were all very pleased with it. Now, I did hear from some delegates this morning as we were all packing up. They were about where he was going after Cruz again and saying some stuff that they would rather him just not bring up.
Does the delegation leave confident, as I assume it would, after a night like last night?
I think so. I think they're extremely confident. They feel that they have a message that the Americans want to hear. I think, although many of them are, as I mentioned, there was some concern over what Trump was saying on TV this morning, where they thought that he was bringing up old youth. They would rather him just not talk about that, talk more about Hillary. And, of course, we've got the Democratic Convention starting in a couple days. So what's going to be interesting is to see what of this convention sticks in people's minds after the Democratic Convention. As the listeners may or may not know, the party of the president always has the last convention.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the Democratic Convention is second. That's a tradition. That's the way it goes.
And typically, so, each party gets a bit of a bump right after the convention, then things settle down a little bit.
Correct. Yeah. But go back to 2004. The Democratic Convention was first, and the Republican Convention was right after. Kerry got a bump, but it didn't last very long because the Republican Convention in New York sort of took away the thunder really quick. Democrats are hoping that it works this way, this time, in reverse. Because they're sick. But we won't know until a week from now. We'll see. Depends on how the Democratic Convention went.
I want to ask you what the delegation's thoughts are with regard to Governor Pence. They think that's a good choice?
Oh, yeah. He's extremely popular with social conservatives. His record conservative record on against gay rights, against abortion, pro-gun, cutting government is very popular with the Republican base. So, oh, yes, from that standpoint, Trump gained a lot of points when he went with Pence as far as helping to unify the party.
Well, were any eyebrows raised when Donald Trump was speaking last night and was talking about gay rights, which was contrary to what what is in the platform, and as you've just indicated, contrary to the philosophy of Mr. Pence? He was for LGBTQ rights, as he put it in his speech.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that every delegate I talked to about this last night, they were all pleased that he mentioned it, because their view is, they said, we don't want to appear that we don't like people of the LGBTQ community. We just don't like what they do. So they were fine with him mentioning it because, as one delegate put it to me, the delegate said, we're loving people. We care about other people. This was good for him for it to come across. And, of course, several delegates have relatives who are in the LGBTQ community. So they were pleased to hear it, too. And so there's differing views about gay rights within the Republican delegation, which, frankly, you wouldn't see that even 10 years ago. I mean, this is how things change when it comes to gay rights. It's really changed dramatically just in the last decade.
Yeah, it's on a very fast track. There is no question about it. In the 2 minutes we have left, Joe, give me some sense. You know, we all think that all the delegates do when they go to a convention is sit around and wait for the next speech. But you've got all day to kill, if I can put it that way. What do you guys do? I mean, not you per se, because I know you're working. But what do the delegates do during the course of the day?
Well, it varies from convention to convention. But this convention, frankly, of all the ones I've covered, was unique in that the state Republican Party had organized all these excursions. So, in fact, we had the radio station paid so I could accompany the delegates and see all this stuff and record them. So we went to former President William McKinley's Memorial and Library, which is about 30 miles from Akron in Canton, Ohio. Some of the delegates were taken to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Some of the delegates went to the National First Ladies Museum. One day, we all took a historic train ride, which goes through the woods in the Cuyahoga Valley surrounding Cleveland. The delegates took a boat ride on the Erie. And this isn't just like they're standing around with drinks. They had historians on these excursions or guides giving a lot of history. So it was like history lessons every day.
Yeah.
And State Party Chairman John Hancock said that he was trying to create what he called the full experience. And he said he sees conventions as historical experiences. And he wanted to add to that. So he thought, let's do some of the historical stuff around Cleveland.
Right.
So they did quite a bit.
Well, good for them for looking at it that way. We've got to leave you now, Joan, and turn to Jason Rosenbaum. He was also paying a lot of attention to what the Republicans are doing, even as we speak, he is getting ready to head to Philadelphia. Joe Mattis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jason, you've been watching what's been going on in Cleveland. How do you expect Philadelphia to be different?
I have to laugh before that question because I'm not sure we're ever going to see a convention like what we've seen in Cleveland ever again. I think that the Democrats definitely were split between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders to some extent. And I think that there is an element of Bernie Sanders supporters that don't like Hillary Clinton and are upset that she won. I think there's a larger segment, though, that have accepted the result and are going to try to work with Hillary Clinton to make her more amenable to his issues or to move the party in a more progressive left-leaning direction. So that's a much different posture than what we're seeing in Cleveland, where obviously there's a lot of enthusiasm for Trump among delegates, but there's also a lot of misgivings among some prominent Republicans. Ted Cruz is an obvious one, but also John Kasich didn't show up to the convention in his own state. And some of the other people that were there gave very tepid endorsements of Trump. I don't think we're going to see that in Philadelphia. I think we're going to see some full-throated endorsements of Hillary Clinton.
Have you had a chance to talk to any of the Missouri delegation prior to your departure?
I have. I went to the 1st District Democratic Caucus in St. Louis, and I was in Sedalia, where I talked to a lot of Democrats who are both supportive of Clinton and Sanders. And I think that, yes, there again, there's an element of the Sanders contingent, which is a little bit less pragmatic. But I think the vast majority of them, they want to use the Sanders campaign and candidacy as a tool to move the Democratic Party more in the Vermont senator's direction. And I think that Hillary Clinton supporters, many of them who were supporters in 2008, are very excited that this long time coming moment has occurred. So I think it's a mixture of both optimism and excitement.
I also think and suspect that they're going to want to be presenting a much different profile to the American public than has happened this week in Cleveland.
I think so. I think the rhetoric is going to be a lot different. I think it's going to be more generalized to try to appeal to the elusive middle class voter or the swing voter, or maybe even the Republican voter. This is an unprecedented election where you have a percentage of the Republican electorate that is really uneasy about Donald Trump being their nominee. I'm not one in the camp that thinks like there's going to be mass defections, but in an election where, you know, losing 5 to 10% of your base compared to the previous nominee can pretty much torpedo your candidacy, I think there is opportunity for Hillary Clinton to do that. Conversely, though, Hillary Clinton is a polarizing figure, too. Many Republicans have disliked her for years, if not decades. So that could be a hard sell, but I wouldn't be surprised if she tried.
With regard to the Missouri delegation and the people you've talked to over the months of covering politics, is there a genuine affection for her, or are people just kind of holding their nose as we advance toward the November election date?
I think it depends on who you talk to. I think there are some delegates who have genuine affection for Clinton. They followed what she did as First Lady, as a U.S. Senator, as Secretary of State, and feel that she's immensely qualified to be president. I think there are others who have some misgivings. I mean, when you've been in elected and unelected office for as long as Hillary Clinton has been in there, you're going to do some things that make people upset, or you're going to take stands that are controversial. So I think that there are some who are less enamored, and that's especially the case among the Bernie Sanders delegation in Missouri. But I think the genuine feeling is it's a better option than the alternative. But I have to just say, there are some Bernie Sanders delegates who have emphasized that if all the Democrats are going to do for the next few months is just say why you shouldn't vote for Donald Trump and don't give a good message about why Hillary Clinton should be president, there's going to be a lot of problems with that, getting people on board with that. It has to be more than just an anti-message. It has to be an aspirational one.
What are you most looking forward to during your 4 days in Philly?
Well, I don't eat a lot of dairy, so I'm not going to say the cheesesteaks. I'm looking forward to being able to meet and talk with a lot of people from across the state and across the country who I think have different experiences and backgrounds. My goal and my assignment is to cover the Missouri delegation, so I'm going to be focusing on what they have to say, not only about what the convention is, but also about big issues that I think are percolating. It's interesting because the hotel also includes the Illinois delegation, and Illinois Democrats have been in power for a long time, whereas Missouri Democrats are kind of in this split situation where they have the governorship and many of the statewide offices but are getting killed in the legislature. It might be good to talk with some Illinois Democrats if they have any advice for the Missouri Democrats, but I'm not sure, given Illinois' economic woes about where they are now, that advice would be as well taken.
Well, please do talk to them and keep us posted, and we'll advise our friends in Illinois who are listening to us that what you're bringing back from Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.